Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers. On the program today, the topic is geothermal energy. Michael Hackett has the
rundown. Sam, our guest today is Paul Thompson. He's the Director of Public Policy and Business Development for Ormat Technologies, and he's also the board president for the Geothermal Energy Association.
And coming up on the Power Pundit panel today, Trey Abney, Marsha Breckbigler, and Elisa Caffarada. It's all coming up next on the all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers is brought to you in part by the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, the world's largest industrial park. The resort at Red Hawk. The Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cure. And the Las Vegas Review-Journal and ReviewJournal.com.
The Tamarack Junction is South Reno's headquarters for food, fun, friends, hot slots, and video poker. Join the best slot club in town, the Conductor's Club at the Tamarack Junction, where you can earn free play and comp dollars on over 450 of the latest state-of-the-art slots and video poker machines. Play your favorite games and win cash, comps, free play, and other great prizes. The Tamarack Junction, where locals meet in South Reno, just north of the Summit on South Virginia.
It's Tamarack Junction, your junction for fun. Yeah.
So, who do you use for workers' comp?
Pro Group Management.
Oh, I've heard some good things about them.
You bet. Employee background check, safety training, claim seminars. Oh, here's the great part. If you have an issue, they work for you, not against you.
Well, sounds perfect. And expensive.
Well, that's the best part. They saved me 25%, and I've heard they saved more for others.
Works for me.
Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
All right, Sam, let's check on some commercial buildings, see how their roofs are holding up.
Some business owners can't replace their roofs right now. That's where our free inspections really help out.
Hold on. Let's go inverted. We'll get a closer look.
What do you think?
Well, it certainly can use some preventive maintenance.
Yeah, that would definitely extend the life of this roof.
You ready to check the next one?
Maybe next time we can just take a ladder.
You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
How will new energy technology make our lives better? Will geothermal, wind, and solar energy be a bigger part of our future? Yes. And soon it will all be in our backyard. Learn more at nvenergy.com.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shad, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are very pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Paul Thompson. He is the board president for the Geothermal Energy Association, and in his real life, he is director of policy and business development for Ormat, one of the leading companies in geothermal in the world. This business has just gone crazy over the last 5 years.
It really has. I want to thank you first for having me on the show, and you know, it's an exciting place to be, trying to develop these projects and seeing other developers come to the sector and kind of share some of the burden. For so long, Ormat was developing projects all by itself, and we really saw a dearth of other developers, and so we're excited to see it picking up, and I think, you know, it's interesting to see Reno become the hub of geothermal development in the country.
And you're seeing actual projects in town that make sense. For example, Bethmill Hotel Casino, which is one of the larger properties in town, has developed their own geothermal plant right on property, and I believe within 8 years expects to be making money back from that investment.
You know, absolutely, and you know, it's one of the neat things about geothermal development is that it does a lot, but people don't really see it. We don't really have the NIMBY problem. Most people don't realize that the Steamboat Complex on the corner of Mount Rose Highway and 395 actually produces enough power to supply the entire residential load of the city of Reno, approximately 100 megawatts of power. And like you said, we're also developing projects in rural counties, which is having a substantial impact in those counties, like Elko, Lander, and Churchill counties.
One of the issues that the renewable industry has faced over time has been the issue of transmission and how do we get the resource to the marketplace. In 2012, the 1NV line, that transmission line, which will connect the north and southern markets, that is going to be in service. What is that going to do for the renewable industry and for geothermal in particular?
You know, it's going to have a substantial impact. Transmission has been a huge problem. Nevada was known as the donut hole because there was really no transmission from north to south, and you had this big void in the western U.S. Connecting both NV Energy and Sierra Pacific is going to allow us to move power north and south, and it's going to make Nevada much more efficient. When Vegas is turning on all the air conditioners, we don't have a huge load up in the north. And so being able to use power more efficiently and move it across the state is huge for the industry, and also trying to sell it to our big partner to the west, California.
Okay.
All right, so I was going to say, one of the things that people talk about with all renewables is the government subsidies that have gone along with this. If the government takes away the subsidies, is the industry strong enough at this point to survive?
You know, that's a great question, and I think when we talk about subsidies, we look at trying to have a level playing field. If the government just takes away the subsidies for geothermal, the industry it'll impact the industry. But subsidies across the board kind of try to bring up the entire renewable sector. Geothermal is baseload. It's, you know, hands down the cheapest renewable energy source. So if the subsidies in their entirety were removed, I think the geothermal industry would be able to survive and compete and still be able to develop projects. We're really resource driven. And where we find a prolific geothermal resource, the economics work. What the subsidies and what the incentives have done today have allowed developers to look at maybe moderate temperature projects or projects they wouldn't have pursued, which was really the idea, to try to create jobs and projects where maybe developers would have waited or passed on for the bigger, more prolific geothermal resource projects.
Okay. Let's kind of talk a little bit about incentives for the geothermal industry as well as other renewables, but let's kind of bring it to a state level in terms of the abatements that are being offered. There was an article that ran in the Reno Gazette Journal yesterday that talked about the cluster that we have regarding geothermal energy. But in the article, it was pointed out that tax abatements available for solar and wind, but those same tax abatements aren't available for geothermal. And the article talks about the impact that this is having on a geothermal-rich county like Churchill County. Specifically, what are these abatements in question, and why hasn't the legislature done what maybe you feel needs to be done to address these inconsistencies?
Sure. During the 2008 legislative session, the legislature said, you know, we recognize the potential for geothermal development. We want to kind of offset this recession and create jobs in rural Nevada. So they created a property tax and sales tax abatement.
Right.
The sales tax abatement had been in place, handled through the Nevada Development or Economic Development Boards, but they moved it under this energy advisor. Some of the county commissioners said, well, wait a minute, we've got geothermal. We recognize an impact. We don't want to see geothermal getting the same tax incentives. And this goes back to my earlier statement, which is it unleveled the playing field. What occurs today is that a geothermal developer can get the sales tax abatement if it meets certain criteria. One, you have to employ 30% Nevadans.
Okay.
Two, you have to pay 150% of the average Nevada wage and provide full benefits to the employees and their dependents. Third, you have to spend $10 million. And the fourth criteria is you have to employ a certain number of employees in the second quarter of construction. So if a developer says, I can do all of those things, if you're a wind or solar developer, guess what? You just got your property tax reduced in half, and you have your sales tax reduced to the education limit, 2.6 cents or something like that. They didn't want to impact any of the money that goes to the general fund.
Mm-hmm.
For geothermal, for the property tax component, we have to go to the county and ask them if they would be willing to give us a property tax break and get their approval. And as you can imagine, in this economy, going before the county commission and saying we'd like to take some of your potential revenue away is a real difficult sell. And so the developers haven't been getting that. And this goes back to what's interesting is that the utility, when they're looking at projects now, see a reduction in potential cost for wind and solar projects and not for geothermal.
Okay.
So we're asking the legislature to try to level that playing field so that we get the best, you know, renewable resources for the best cost for the ratepayers of Nevada.
All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with more on this fascinating topic when we return.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Nevada Beer Wholesalers encourages the responsible consumption of beer. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association are sponsors and participants in many community-based efforts such as school education programs, safe ride home, recycling programs, alcohol-free after-prom and graduation parties, safe boating campaigns, and designated driver programs. They are family-owned businesses employing 2,000 Nevadans. They also collect and pay the state excise tax. The Nevada Beer Wholesalers Association, delivering more than just beer.
Press on, Southern Nevada. It's a new beginning. Information the way you need it. We are fighting for you every day to make your life better. The facts. So you can succeed. So you can plan. So you can dream. And always remember, press on.
This segment is sponsored by the law firm of Lewis & Rocha, providing local and regional clients in-depth legal resources in today's challenging business climate. And now, back to Nevada Newsmakers with Sam Shad.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Thompson. He is currently the president of the Geothermal Energy Association, and he also is the director of policy and business development for ORMAT.
Paul, one of the issues that we've talked about consistently over the last couple of legislative sessions is how do we jumpstart our economy? How do we get back to the boom times that we really grew to like? But one of the issues that doesn't get addressed too much is the high cost of energy in Nevada. I believe the rates are the highest in the West right now. How do we reconcile trying to lower the overall cost of doing business here in this state for companies that would like to relocate here and bring more renewable energy into the market? How do you balance those two?
You know, it's a great question, and I think when we look at developing renewable projects across the world and in the nation, you have to balance the low cost today versus what are the costs going to be in the future. And one thing Nevada has done is leverage its domestic renewable resources. Natural gas is going to increase. I mean, we've seen a huge decline due to the shale gas reserves and so forth. But what we've really done is insulate ourselves from price volatility in the western U.S. And I think, you know, we can have a long discussion about the future of that. But hopefully, when we start to see fossil fuel prices rise, Nevada is going to be in a unique position to maybe have a certain percentage or all of its base load energy resources coming from the state of Nevada. The other thing you have to remember, and I think it's important for residents and ratepayers, is when we buy renewable projects, that's money that's going back into infrastructure in Nevada. And when we buy fossil fuels, that's money that's leaving this state very quickly. And so, you know, it may cost a little bit more, but that's money that's employing people, creating jobs, drilling wells, and creating construction in the state of Nevada.
One of the things that is mandated by the legislature is for NV Energy to increase their renewable portfolio in terms of percentage, and they have failed in that over the last several years. But the number that they are asked to produce keeps going up. Is there some point where you think that ORMAT might be purchased by NV Energy?
I don't think so. You know, utilities don't like risk. And we haven't seen them really move into the renewable sector because they have a hard time asking the PUC that if we drill these very expensive geothermal wells and they don't work out, can we get that money back from the ratepayers? And the PUC typically says no. This is why they stick to fossil fuel development, because when they build a natural gas plant, they know they're going to get the natural gas, and there's not a lot of risk of that plant just not coming to fruition. So, you know, these renewable projects are an interesting balance, and developers like ORMAT and Gradient and all the folks in Nevada take that risk of development on themselves, and they don't put it on the ratepayers.
There's two events that are going to be coming up here in August in Nevada, one up north here and one down south. The first one is one that your organization that you serve as the board president for is putting on, the National Geothermal Summit. This is the first event of its kind. It's being held here in Reno. How did this event come to be?
You know, the GEA is made up, it's a trade association made up of U.S. companies. And what happened was, is most of the executive board, myself included, live and work for companies in Reno. And when we looked at, you know, where, what are the real hurdles to development, we realized it was developing projects on public lands and transmission. Permitting and transmission. And we said, what better place to put it than in the hub of all of this development, which is in Reno. So we have a fantastic panel showing up, including FERC Commissioner John Wellinghoff, the Special Assistant to the Director of the Bureau of Land Management, state energy advisors, and so forth, coming to really talk about those issues. And what makes this event different than most is it doesn't have the typical talking heads of industry telling you how great their companies are. It's going to get down to the crux of, you know, how does BLM get along with NDAL, get along with the Forest Service, any environmentalists? And they're all going to be on a panel kind of explaining how they permit projects.
And you're chairing that panel, actually. This is going to be discussing moving geothermal energy forward on public lands. Here in Nevada, what are those obstacles?
Well, when your state is 86% or has 86% of federal lands, when we go to develop a project, we have to go through the NEPA process. Mm-hmm. And this process can take anywhere from 24 to 64 months.
Insane.
And so when you look at, you know, why time is money, and when developers look at how do we develop a project, and if they run into huge permitting problems, including sage grouse or, you know, water concerns, if they can't quickly resolve those problems, these projects will never be developed. And so we're not looking to push those agencies to make bad decisions, but do it in a timely manner.
How does Senator Reed play into this?
You know, he's worked very hard at trying to, how does he play into it? I think he definitely pushes the federal government to say, you know, how do we streamline NEPA and make it better? He's introduced some legislation for transmission to create access, and he's looked at, you know, maybe public land deals and so forth to facilitate the development of these projects.
All right, last question. You have a huge market sitting next door for renewable energy. How are you best able to tap into this? And I'm speaking particularly for Ormat.
Well, you know, Ormat's a unique company because we can sell equipment. So we actually develop projects in California and sell it into the California market. We develop projects in Nevada and sell it into the Nevada market. The big crossover point will be when we have transmission corridors that go from northern Nevada into California. And that'll create competition. You know, NV Energy then will have to compete with California prices, and we'll see where that kind of balance point is. But I think that would allow, again, this kind of fluidity of electrons to move north and south for efficiency, and allow developers confidence to come here because they don't have to work with just one entity. They have multiple potential off-takers, which allow them to get more financing and develop these projects.
Okay, and we got to have you back because we have so many more questions. Sure. Thank you so much for being here. The big conference is in Reno on August 16th and 17th. We look forward to hearing what comes out of it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you so much for being here. We'll be right back on Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Hello, I'm Lance Gilman. Welcome to the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center. The Tahoe Reno Industrial Center, building economic prosperity for Nevada. We are TRI.
It's the Red Hot Summer Sell-Off at Internet Auto Rent and Sales. Virtually all makes and models are on sale, and interest rates as low as 1.5%. Get a guaranteed $4,000 for your trade, push, pull, or drag, or $4,000 cash assistance towards your negative equity. Buy with zero money down and no payments till next year. Receive a $1,000 Red Hot Gas Cash to cool off those high gas prices with purchase. It's the Red Hot Summer Sell-Off, going on now only at Internet Auto Rent and Sales.
Mark Amaday, caught lying about his record. So why believe his attacks on Kate Marshall?
In the treasurer's office, we were able to save millions of dollars simply by renegotiating contracts, by cutting expenses, and increased services without raising taxes.
Financial expert Kate Marshall, praised by the Gazette Journal as a serious caretaker of taxpayer money.
My job is to make sure that we have our middle class.
I'm Kate Marshall, and I approve this message. I didn't take a pay raise in Nevada, and I won't take one in Washington.
At Evergreen Carpet Care, when we say we live with your carpets, it means our service continues even after we've left the job. Because to us,
Marty,
people care is every bit as important. So we're constantly striving to offer the best possible customer service in the business.
For example, we do something that no one else does. We'll give you a follow-up call to make sure your job was done perfectly. And I mean perfectly. If not, we'll make it right. We promise.
For the ultimate in carpet cleaning and more, it's Forever Evergreen. This segment is brought to you by the Whittemore Peterson Institute, where today's discoveries are tomorrow's cures. This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we have a great Power Pundit panel. As always, Marsha Brettbeekler is here, partner with Nevada Business Strategies. Trey Abney is Director of Government Affairs for the Reno-Sparks Chamber of Commerce. And Alisa Cafferata is lobbyist for Planned Parenthood. Welcome to all of you. So, obviously, we're taping this the Monday after the S&P downgrade, after the budget disaster. Las Vegas Review-Journal this morning reports in the latest New York Times CBS News opinion poll released last week, 82% of Americans disapproved of Congress, the highest such negative rating in the history of the poll. Democrats earned a 66% approval rating, while Republicans were at 72%. President Obama looks downright impressive with a traditionally weak approval rating of 48%. 82%. What does that end up translating into at the ballot box?
Well, that's a really good question, because they're not just mad at one party or the other. They're just sort of disgusted with the whole process that's going on in D.C. And I don't think I've ever heard as many people say to me, it's just time to clean house. And that will be interesting to see if that really plays in the ballot box. My personal opinion is people will get over it, and that won't play in the ballot box. And if you really like your senator who's up for election, or your congressman who's up for election, and they have historically been your friend, and they have historically done things that you approved of, you're going to vote for them again.
I thought it was interesting reading The Sun over the weekend, Senator Reid talking about how he was working behind the scenes, that he really was a big player in this whole thing. Is that a benefit or a detriment to him?
You know, I'm not sure, and I would argue that this is probably, I would guess, his last term anyway, so it may not matter as much, but I can tell you what it's going to translate in the ballot box. It's going to translate in the same guys getting reelected. People tend to hate Congress but love their congressman or their senator, and you have the same thing moving forward. And I mean, is anybody surprised that we were downgraded? We borrow 40 cents of every dollar we spend. And we've been doing that for quite a while, so I'm surprised it didn't happen before now. And it's
disgusting. But on the other side of that, you know, this is the same S&P that was putting AAA ratings on all these instruments of mass destruction in financial markets. Do we really care what they think and their justifications?
Well, we may not care. The markets and the international community may care. The U.S. is not the safest bet in the world, and it's not the sure bet that it always
has. By comparison with whom?
Well, it used to be, we're not at the top anymore.
And people are buying, T-bills and record numbers now. So, you know, because they're a great deal. But I think the people who are vulnerable are freshman members of Congress. And the reason I think they're vulnerable is I think people are sympathetic to the budget issues and the deficit issues. But particularly the Republicans in the House are not picking their battles. And so they're taking this to the brink on every single, you know, I mean, really, you know, Republican congressmen are going to say, we don't want to support rural airport. I mean, you know, it's like, you got to focus on the big battle, which is the budget, which I bet they won't approve. So, you know, then I think those freshman congressmen will be in trouble.
Well, one of the things is that if we were to see a 1% increase in interest rates that the federal government pays, it would wipe out all the cuts we've seen that have come out of this over a 10-year period.
Exactly. And the big concern that everybody is looking at right now is this going to put us into another recession? And for those of us here in Nevada, and especially in Las Vegas, we haven't recovered yet from the first recession. So I'm not sure we're completely out of it. But no, I agree. I think the impact both at a federal level and how it trickles down to the states, to the business community, all of that, I think the impact is going to be very significant. I'm kind of surprised that there may not be a anti-incumbent sentiment as we get close to the 2012 election like we saw in 2010, based on politics first and foremost on everything that's being done now in Congress, that having that set of priorities. I wouldn't be surprised if we do see some sort of an anti-incumbent sentiment.
Okay, so now the question is, what does recovery look like in Nevada? Now, I had a great conversation with a very conservative friend of mine, and we were going back and forth over, you know, things are terrible, things are improving, things are terrible, things are improving. The county commission in Las Vegas, in Clark County, approved Caesars Entertainment's $500 million project that's going on the Strip. Is that not part of what looks like the beginning of a recovery in Southern Nevada?
I I think it's evidence that we are starting to recover. But starting to recover and how long that process will take is really the question. You know, that was really great, I think, on the part of the Las Vegas Council, because businesses are who make jobs, and that's what we need to get out of this problem that we're in. We need jobs. People have lost their jobs. Our percentage, you know, when they nationally, they're what, we're 9.1 or 9.2%. What's Nevada? 13 or 14, somewhere in that range. So when you look at that kind of problem that we have, the only way we fix this is to build jobs in Nevada.
But isn't the reality that it's a continuation of people moving either to other parts of the state or out of state to balance this? Because we're not going to see a construction industry look the same as it did before, and we're not even going to see a casino industry look the same as it did before.
Well, you're absolutely right. I'm not sure we'll ever be able to support all the construction jobs that we used to have.
Right.
And so you're never going to be able to put all those people back to work. And it's interesting, we talk about diversifying the economy, and then we're building a big project to bring visitors in here to try to increase that visitor base. And it's a project with the world's largest Ferris wheel. It sounds more like a family-oriented a place to visit, and have we tried that before in Las Vegas? So it's a very interesting...
But we tried it before poorly, you know? And I think that Don Marandino, who runs Harrah's Atlantic City now, but was running the Flamingo down in Las Vegas and also ran the Northern Nevada division, said that, you know, in this modern era, you need to have properties that can absorb every kind of clientele. You just don't want them mixing. And I think that when, you know, we started with the MGM project when they had their theme park, and I think it was a very poor attempt at attracting families, and it didn't work certainly with the Wynn properties because he got very mad at seeing strollers lined around the building for people that weren't in his hotel and kids leaning up against the wall while their parents were gambling. That part didn't work. I think we need a better plan. We got to leave it. I guess that became my thoughts. We'll be right back with Nevada Newsmakers after this timeout.
Is your child happy in school? Is the pace too fast or too slow? Does your child need a more flexible or individualized approach? Some children simply thrive in a different kind of classroom. That's why you have another public school choice. Online learning from K-12. A full-time alternative to the traditional classroom, available as a tuition-free public school option. K-12 is a fully accredited program that brings learning to life for students grades K through 12. Call now for your free information kit to learn how K-12 could be the best option for your child. Parents and teachers enthusiastically endorse it.
I made a switch to online learning because I saw results. I just saw a blossoming of kids' excitement for education.
Our state-certified teachers customize lesson plans, organize field trips, and guide learning. Kids work at the level and pace just right for them without classroom distractions. With K-12, you get teacher support, books, school supplies, and materials for experiments, all included. And in most cases, the program is tuition-free.
You'll hear from every person that ever works with K-12 curriculum that it is top-notch.
In fact, 95% of K-12 parents agree their children have benefited from this program. As a full-time public school option or to purchase supplemental courses, think K-12.
The ability to have the online school and still be part of a public school system is priceless.
Call now or go online for your free information kit. See how K-12 can be the right choice for your child. Nevada Virtual Academy is currently accepting students in grades K through 12 for fall 2011 enrollment. Call K-12 today or go online to learn more.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com.
Join us tomorrow when our guest will be John Sealmeyer, editor for the Northern Nevada Business Weekly.
I'll see you there. Thanks for watching.